Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Every other Friday, Dr. Dana Varble joins us. She is Chicago's exotic pet vet and the chief veterinary officer for the North American veterinary community. And have you ever heard that Cat Stevens song before, Dana?
I don't know that I have. It's really sweet, though.
It is. That goes back away. So here's the deal.
If you
have a question for her, 312-981-7200. Everybody always waits till like the last 5 minutes, and then I can't get their questions in. But I have a few questions to ask you off the top. Pumpkin season is here. I know that's good for dogs. And I know when we want them to pass something, I've been told to give them pumpkin, you know, when they ate a bone they weren't supposed to or something like that. Are there other uses or should we incorporate it into their daily diet?
So the big advantage of pumpkin is, one, you know, odd fact that I know of, it's a non-animal fact, is that Illinois is the number one pumpkin producer in the U.S. So we are literally living in the pumpkin capital of the world.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's take advantage. The great thing about pumpkin is it's full of bulk fiber, and that kind of bulk fiber is really healthy for your gut. It helps regulate how much water's in your gut. It can help you pass things. It's just a very healthy form of fiber. There is some sugar in pumpkin and some carbohydrates, but it's also rich in vitamin A, and it's just a very healthy vegetable, actually. So sometimes when dogs are just kind of having some chronic GI upset, I say canned pumpkin, not pie filling that's got all the good spices and a little extra sugar in it. But good canned pumpkin. But right now, the other thing we have an abundance of is just fresh pumpkin. So little cubed up pieces of pumpkin, raw or baked, can be a great way to add some extra fiber and regulate your dog's GI tract.
Nice.
I have even known some cats to eat it.
Oh, really?
Easy enough.
I got to tell you, I've got a pig that loves it, and so she gets all the pumpkins at the end of the season, and then she has been known to grow her own the next year.
Yes. Sometimes the interesting thing about pumpkin is, you know, if you have an animal that eats pumpkin whole, those seeds are very resilient to the enzymes in our digestive tract. Dogs, cats, pigs are great examples of this. I'm not testing this on myself, but pumpkin seeds pass through again, very fibrous. If you're not chewing them up, they're going to come out the other end and still be viable seeds. So we will occasionally see, some interesting pumpkin growth in the woods or in chicken pens or in chicken coops all over the place this time of year as we enjoy, you know, the vegetable of the season.
I call her the accidental gardener because we're like, what's that big vine growing on the fence? And we thought, well, we'll just let it grow. And then at the end of the season, we had three pumpkins. And I'm like, right on. Guess
there
who gets to eat them
go.
Again? Hey,
well, that's
I.
much better. My friend calls me a chaotic gardener. I'd much rather be an accidental gardener. So
yes.
Good for her.
Dr. Dana Varble is with us, and you know, I don't know how all the algorithms work, but for some reason, every time I'm online, within 30 seconds, I'm getting an ad for, I think you pronounce it Woofies, but it's nonstop. I'm getting a barrage of them. Somehow my phone heard me talking about Finnegan not being able to use his legs so well anymore. He's a 13-year-old dog that is struggling. Does that stuff work?
So, Woofies, I had it since I looked it up, Lisa, when you sent it to me. Now I'm getting, the algorithm has read my mind now, and now I'm getting ads for it. But I did look into it a little bit, and this is one of the many glucosamine chondroitin MSM supplements on the market. It's certainly not the only one, but it is one that it seems to be widely available. It's in a chewable form. And we do know glucosamine chondroitin is very good for dogs with joint problems, with osteoarthritis.
Okay, good.
Now, it's the best way to use it is actually early on. You know, and you don't need to overuse it. So make sure you're following the dose recommendations for whatever brand you decide to go with. And there are a lot out there. It's very well tolerated. Most dogs don't get sick from it. It's a, for the most part, very few dogs report like an upset tummy or not tolerating it. The only thing is as their arthritis progresses from like a very mild, moderate, a lot of times we do have to add in some additional medications. And that's when your vet can talk to you about anti-inflammatory drugs. And there's a few other things that we could talk about as well to help control that pain, keep those joints moving.
Okay, so he's already been on those drugs for a year and a half, so this is not going to add anything that those current drugs aren't already doing then, right?
Probably not. Okay. You know, the challenge is sometimes, not for all patients, but for some dogs, it might mean that we're able to lower the dose of those drugs.
Okay.
And that can be beneficial because that maybe then we see less side effects. And you know, there could be some other benefits. But, you know, yeah, in the later stages, we're probably still going to need to stay on those drugs too.
Okay. I sent you that article of, is your dog happy? There's one way to tell. It's not a wagging tail. Well, a wagging tail means a lot, but I think most of us think we know when our dog is happy. Is there some way to tell?
You know, I loved this article because it reminded us that a wagging tail just means stimulation. You'll see dogs wag their tail, unfortunately, before they fight or before they run away or before they chase a squirrel. It just means they're really excited. And excitement, as we all know, it's always happy excitement. Sometimes it can be stressed excitement or worried excitement or anxious excitement. So a wagging tail is one way. But I like the advice that look for loose body language. You know, a dog that's happy is relaxed. Their face is relaxed. Their head is relaxed. Some dogs will have kind of that curled up mouth expression.
Yeah.
Remember that dogs evolved with people, and we smile when we're happy. We smile when we're relaxed. So, you know, the same expression in a wolf or a coyote that means aggression, in our domestic dogs, typically means they're happy, they're relaxed.
Uh-huh.
So look for a loosey-goosey dog, and you've probably got a happy dog.
Okay. A couple questions coming up for you next. A few people on the phone line. That's Dr. Dana Varble. They go through a teenage era, don't they, doctor, where they do look kind of awkward and silly, where you feel like their head is bigger than their body?
Yes, every puppy I've ever seen. It depends on the breed because some of them go through it a little bit later, some a little bit earlier. But yeah, they get to that point where like legs and ears and heads don't quite match yet. My favorite was when my bloodhound was going through that phase. I was like, please let him catch up to those ears.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness, they're dragging on the ground.
Dr. Dana Varble, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community, is with us. Have a question. Is it normal for a one-year-old cat to be feeling off after her one-year vaccine?
Yes. You know, think about when you get your flu vaccine. Some of us, when we get our COVID vaccines, tetanus, the nurse, the doctors that give you those vaccines always warn you that you might feel a little punky, a little out of it for 24 hours. So that's normal for our pets, too. Remember, our vaccines are inducing an inflammatory response. And while that's very important long term to protect us from diseases, develop good antibodies, strengthen our immune systems in general, it is not unusual. It's more common with younger animals, and I think more common with children, for those first sets of vaccines to make them feel off for a day or even two.
Okay.
Rarely I'll see an animal who even runs a fever afterwards, usually very low grade and just maybe don't feel like eating as much or just a little more sleepy. Every once in a while, we even see a little bit of soreness. So that's normal. Now, if it lasts more than a day or two, I'd worry something else is going on, and it's time to call the vet and see if they can double check and make sure nothing more serious is happening.
Okay, this person said they have a dog that's 60 pounds, suffers from allergies, rubs his face on furniture, chews his feet raw. Vet has put him on prednisone in the past. That just makes him thirsty and pant endlessly. I'm now trying Dinovite. His hair is growing back wonderfully. His feet are pink instead of red. I'm adding a spoonful of pumpkin to his dinner, but he still chews his feet. I even wipe off his legs when he comes in from outside. What can I do to ease the itch?
Ease the itch. Yeah. You know, feet are probably one of the most sensitive areas on dogs we see with allergies. Feet, maybe ears. So when I see feet like that, yeah, I mean, it could be that the contact allergy is a big part of your dog's problem, because it sounds like you've been able to manage the other symptoms. So, yeah, wiping the feet off, rinsing the feet can help. You can sometimes try some of the protective salves that they make for dogs that are like sledding dogs or hiking dogs. And these are available at the pet store. The purpose of these is that they're almost like a thicker version of Vaseline, if you will, that protects the skin from the elements. You know, in the case of sled dogs, ice, snow, plant material in the ice and snow as they're running. In the case of your dog, it may protect them from those plant allergens that are really bothering their feet. The nice thing about those products is I know they're safe for dogs, but if they don't work and they're licking them, it won't upset their stomach or bother them. So you could try one of those first, see what happens. Keep it up with the wiping. Try one of the foot protectors. And again, if it seems like it's getting worse, not getting better, follow up with your vet. But the other thing I'll say is, as I finish up this one, see if it's seasonal. You know, it's fall right now. The grass is sort of dry.
Bad. Yeah.
There's a lot of other things out there. If it goes away in the winter, it might be something you can manage with those topicals, but not have to worry about year-round drugs.
Right. And those drugs, those shots, a lot of people asking about them, totally fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. And, I mean, there's a lot of options for allergies out there right now, from the very expensive to the inexpensive. So sometimes, you know, the nice thing about prednisone is it's inexpensive. Yeah, lots of side effects. But if you only need it for a few days once a year, that might be okay for you and your pet. It might be the best choice. If you have a dog with year-round allergies, you're probably going to want to look into something that's going to have longer-term effects. And, yeah, those things might be more expensive, but, you know, Lisa, you have had allergy dogs.
Right,
you
right.
Know.
And
Hank, they work,
Hank
man.
He had to get shots. And the first shot didn't help so much, but after the second shot, it really started to help. And it's worth it because miserable and they make you miserable too.
Mm-hmm.
So
really do. We don't appreciate, like, sitting next to a dog who's constantly licking and scratching.
Makes you crazy.
No one wants that.
Tracy's on line one. Tracy, you have a question about cats and ponytail holders. I live this in my house. Go ahead and ask Dr. Varbel.
Oh, I thought we were unique. We have an 11-year-old cat. We adopted it 10 and a half years old, and he just goes after the ponytail holders. It's his favorite toy. Is that okay?
Oh, I wish I could say yes, but here's my caveat to that. This is definitely not unusual, and in the sense that it's one of the most common things that we have to do foreign body surgery on cats for.
Hey.
Now, cats are not my usual, cats are not Labradors. They are not silly hounds. They are not crazy beagles. They don't eat things like Legos and toys and socks, but ponytail holders are my one worry with cats. Sometimes they just like the fact that they snap and bounce and roll and do funny things. See if you can replace that with a bigger toy that has the same kind of movement, that I won't be as worried that when you're not looking, they're eating. Because I'll tell you what, one ponytail holder may pass out and end up in the litter box, but I've heard horror stories of vets pulling out 20, 30, even 50 ponytail holders out during a cat surgery. So be very, very cautious with those. I try and find something bigger that they can't swallow.
Holy smokes. I didn't think about that. Okay, Terry's online too. Terry, you're talking about scratching and itching too. Did you hear enough information that helped you make a decision?
No, I've had my dog, it's like on his hindquarters. he chews until it's raw. And I had him to the vet. It started like in February, kind of went away. Then I took him to the vet. They did a little scrape and said there was bacteria and yeast. And so he was on medicine for 10 days. And he seemed better then. And then it came back again. And now I give him Benadryl, you know, a half in the morning, half at dinner. But he just, it's just nonstop. And he has that bald spot again. And he's, just rubbing against things with and going crazy. Like, how is it okay for
crazy,
him to have
Benadryl? Right? Yeah. So it sounds like what's happened here is you have a dog probably with a primary allergy. Could be food or environmental. You know, talk to your vet about what avenue to pursue there, whether they think it's one or the other. Usually based on how the skin looks, they can start to kind of get a guess. But then when they start chewing and licking, it is really common for them to get secondary infections with bacteria and yeast. And that makes the whole process even worse. Right. So now you got an itchy dog whose skin smells, whose skin is red, whose skin is irritated and infected and gross. So it can be really challenging. But it sounds like you have seasonal allergies too, spring and fall. So that makes me think you maybe need something, you know, different medication that's going to attack different types of inflammation in your dog. Remember, we get allergies and we need antihistamines because our allergies are from histamine. Dogs actually use other chemicals. Their mediators, their cytokines for their allergies are very different than humans, which is why, to be honest, a lot of times Benadryl just doesn't seem to do much for our dogs. So I'd say call the vet and say, we need to rethink this and see what else of other options we have for your puppy.
Okay. Enjoy the beautiful weekend, Dr. Varbal. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Enjoy the summer weather, everyone. Have a great weekend. Bye now.
Dr. Dana Varbal, Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community and Chicago's Exotic Pet Vet.